many lessons that come from that. It's such an interesting way the game is wired up, that when things are going well, of course, you don't want to miss them. You don't want to say, oh, give me a little bit more suffering so I could learn and grow here. Don't miss them. Feel the blessings. But when there's really challenging times, not to think, oh, this is some terrible mistake, and if I were running the universe, I'd do a much better job than this, but rather, okay, what is there for me to understand and grow here? As long as this is the way it is, oh, it's like this, as Ajahn Sumedho says. What can I learn? What's the gift in this? How can I find meaning in this? And those are incredible gems. This is from the mother, Sri Aurobindo's partner, the mother. She says, you carry in yourself all the obstacles necessary to make your realization perfect. Always you will see that within you the shadow and the light are both there. If you discover a very black hole, a thick shadow, be sure there is somewhere in you a great light. It is up to you to know how to use the one to realize the other. So I want to ask you, how do you work in the most skillful ways when you're going through a hard time? What helps you, or what are your keys to working with dukkha, as it's called, suffering, in a wise way? Yes.
In a more recent experience, I had more curiosity about it. There was suffering, and I thought, oh, this is suffering. I hadn't really identified it so clearly as that before.
So being curious enough to explore, okay, how can I learn, or what is there to learn in this? Beautiful. What else? What are your keys to working with suffering? Yes?
Most recently it's been short, pithy phrases from people like Angela Zarian, right? More is working than not working, or Norman Fisher with his not knowing is most intimate, or just short little sayings so that practice with them, but when I hit some of those hard spots, all of a sudden one of them will come up.
So reminding some wisdom that you've heard to get you through it. Yes, in the back.
There's two things that I like. One is just being in the moment.
Uh-huh.
Staying with the suffering, and then it sort of evaporates every once in a while, and something else comes along.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a distraction, of course, but no more or less than the suffering is being.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one is taking a bird's eye view. And so seeing myself on the bed, tearing my hair out or whatever I'm doing.
So there's an awareness that's watching, that's not completely overwhelmed by the suffering. And so you can be the awareness that's doing the watching rather than being in the melodrama completely drowning. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes. Yes.
I meditate and ask for help.
Meditate and ask for help. So the universal prayer, help. Yeah. Whether it's in here or externally, to open ourselves up and ask for help. Beautiful. Yeah, Paul.
I don't think this has come up in this segment, but letting go, and that is an individual and a unique process to each of us. And so one of the biggest things for me over all those years of suffering about something, that was the major teaching.
Yes, and we'll get to letting go more tomorrow, but at some point you can carry around the pain for a long time, and it's important to know that, to honor and process that, but when you realize, oh, I've been carrying this around more than I need to, let's get on with my life. it's possible to let go. Yes, in the back.
One thing I do, especially when I start kind of beating myself up, that's involved, I speak to myself or touch myself tenderly, like a you're all right, whether touching my heart or holding my cheek or just offering myself very kind words.
Beautiful. Being very kind and compassionate towards herself, and maybe this is a time, and she says either touching her cheek or touching her heart, and maybe this is a time there that Jane can share a little bit about this mindful self-compassion that she's been getting more and more training in. Very simple. So why don't you share it now?
I've been taking training in mindful self-compassion with Kristen Neff and Chris Skirmer, and I recommend if you just Google self-compassion, Kristen Neff comes up, or mindful self-compassion, Chris Skirmer comes up, and they're both great websites that you can listen to meditations and watch videos, and it's really a helpful practice, and they're both very grounded in Buddhist retreats. And I wanted to teach you one meditation that I find very helpful, and actually James taught it last weekend too, so it's kind of a review for people who were here last weekend. But there's three components. I'll first tell you a little bit about it, and then I'll lead you through it. The three components are, first of all, based on mindfulness. We have to first be aware that we're suffering. And often we're not. We can be so dissociated that we don't even realize we're suffering. So we have no choice there, no freedom, because we're just trying to be someplace else. So the first thing is to actually use mindfulness and notice that. And for example, I can notice that just a brief example, when I'm doing yoga, it's helpful to do yoga and maybe stretch some, but if I'm doing damage to my body, that's not helpful. So it's about being mindful, being where you are, and realizing something hurts, or it's off, or it's tough, or it's a suffering. The second component is that suffering is part of life, and I think we've all sort of demonstrated here together and individually, there's no way to be a being without suffering. It's just part of life. But unfortunately, often when we're suffering, we isolate ourselves, because on top of the suffering, we think we're bad for suffering. Oh, if I would have done something differently, I wouldn't be feeling that way. And so it must be that I'm a bad person. We don't want to tell people. Often in mental illness, one of the really sad parts is that the people that are suffering mentally aren't connected to other people, and so they get more and more isolated, and their thinking gets more and more insular, and they're just inside themselves. So remembering that suffering is part of life, all beings suffer, and that just because we're suffering doesn't mean we're bad. And the third one is just the intention, which starts with a may I. It's not an affirmation like I am happy when we're not happy, we're suffering. So it's not that, but may I be kind to myself, or accept myself, or may I be safe, may I be strong. That's where you have the most play with this, or creativity to make it your own. So I wanted to guide you through this meditation, because I find it really helpful for me. I do it all the time. It's just a break that you can take. You're in the middle of something, and you just, you can be there and be with it. Okay, so think of something mildly suffering, enough to have a little bit of to it. And see if you can locate it, that discomfort, any place in your body. Where do you feel the suffering the most in your body? And make contact with the sensations as they arise in your body. And say to yourself slowly, this is a moment of suffering. This is a moment of suffering. Suffering is part of living. And now, if you care to, put your hand on your heart, which will increase the oxytocin, the opiates, and say to yourself, may I be kind to myself. Or you can look for other words that more accurately support you right now, like, may I accept myself. Or may I be strong. Or may I be safe. So it's just very simple, just recognizing something's suffering. You may have just missed the bus or misplaced your passport or somebody said something or you said something, but you acknowledge this is suffering. Suffering is part of life or part of living. And then the intention, may I be... The intention with putting your hands on your heart, because then you're really giving yourself some warm attention and soothing touch. Actually, whether it comes from a friend or someone who loves you or yourself, it's all the body doesn't even know who it's coming from. As long as the intentions are good, it's releasing the opiates and the oxytocin. So we can do it for ourselves with the intention, may I be, and whatever that is for you at that time, you can play around with it. May I be kind to myself? May I be safe? May I be strong? May I learn to accept myself? Whatever really is authentic for you in the moment. So are there any questions about that? Okay, I really find this a very useful practice. Of all the 6 days of advanced training I took, this is the key one that I use over and over and over again because it's very practical, you know. Mm-hmm. You can use it anywhere. Yeah. Yeah, the first one is Kristin, K-R-I-S-T-I-N, last name Neff, N-E-F-F. She wrote a great book also called Self-Compassion. It's very readable and accessible. She's a researcher at the University of Texas, Austin, and she's done a ton of research on self-compassion. So it's interesting to get that science behind it. And she has a good website. So all you have to do is go on self-compassion, and she's the first one up. And the second one is Chris C-H-R-I-S, Germer, G-E-R-M-E-R. And he also wrote a very good book called Mindful Self-Compassion. And his website is Mindful Self-Compassion. So I think they're great resources.
So I saw there were a number of other hands as far as opening up and working with suffering, with our pain fully. So there's a lot of wisdom here, and one of the things that I really recommend is to trust your own wisdom. A couple of other things to keep in mind that I've found helpful. First, to remember the Buddha suggested to keep on reflecting on impermanence, that no matter on impermanence, no matter how bad things are, you will probably smile again. Mm-hmm. You'll probably laugh again. And it feels so solid and stuck when you are in the midst of it. And to not to dismiss it or hurry things along, but just to have that bigger view that things change. And right now, this is what life is giving for you to deal with and to wake up to. But having that reflection on impermanence brings the bigger picture. Along with that, being here in the present, often what seems overwhelming is usually workable. It's just when the mind gets into, oh, where is this heading? Or will I ever get out? Or it's bad now, it's just going to get worse and worse. And every time you get caught in that, it's fear driving the mind, and fear is always about the future. And that's where refuge is here in the present. It might be really, really hard, but here it is, and I'm meeting it. So every time you find yourself toppling forward to the future, come on back. What's happening right now? And ground yourself, be connected, be with it. Something else that that sometimes people don't let themselves do when they're going through a hard time, when you're going through grieving particularly, and grieving is a part of life, loss is a part of life. The Buddha said, reflect every day that everyone and everything near and dear to me will be separated from me. Not to bum you out, but just to realize this is something I can appreciate right now. But while you're going through loss or grieving, it's okay to let yourself be touched by the beauty around you still, by moments of goodness, by seeing children laughing, by being touched by a good movie or a good book, or even seeing a comedy, not to feel guilty that you should just be completely in a bleak period. To let yourself be nourished a little gives you the energy to then grieve fully grieve, but not to go overboard in thinking that I have to add on 10 layers of melodrama to really, you know, make it that much more meaningful or honoring the loss. What am I learning now? This is basically what we've been talking about. And like Jane said, not taking it personally. Suffering is a part of life. And one Tibetan practice that can be very useful, when you're going through a hard time, think of all the people in the world that are going through just what you're going through. And in a moment, instead of feeling so isolated and alone, you feel connection and opening to the compassion, and your heart opens to include everybody else and including yourself in there too. The primary strategy, skillful means, is to let yourself feel what you're feeling. The more you can take it in healthy doses, in small doses, what I sometimes call titrating our dukkha. You know, just a little at a time, so you feel it fully, and then you regroup and resource yourself. But to let yourself feel it, and we don't have time now to go through the RAIN acronym. We did it last week, I think. But basically, it's recognize, what am I feeling right now? Allow it to be here. Investigate, that is, let yourself feel it in your body and in your mind. Not analyze, not try to figure out why, but just, oh, this is what this feels like. This is what sadness feels like. This is what fear feels like. This is what loss feels like. This is what calm feels like. Recognize, allow, investigate in the body and in the mind. And the N is non-identification, which is just a fancy word that means not taking it personally. It's part of life, like we said. So with all of these, really trusting whatever you need to support you in that. Not to go looking for dukkha, but not to be afraid of it. And at the same time, to again remember all the blessings as a container for all the challenges. So it's just about the end of our day. Maybe since we're in this space, before we we'll sing a song in a moment, but to close. But just if you happen to be feeling the mood of hanging out with Dukkha, just for a moment, once again, open up to a blessing. You might bring to mind some wonderful blessing in your life. Have an image of that person or that situation. And as you're reflecting on it, a simple thank you right from your heart. Thank you. Relaxing into that feeling. Take a breath. Might bring someone or something else into your heart. Another blessing. Just feel the blessing. A simple thank you. Relaxing into it. And then finally, the blessing of the fact that you're interested in wanting to awaken joy or awaken goodness inside, and you have the support, and here we are all supporting each other together, feeling like-minded friendship, and that there's something in you that really is drawn to the truth and drawn to goodness. And then we can share with each other and with all beings. May all know genuine happiness and well-being in their life. And may any good that comes from our being here together, may it be shared with all beings everywhere.